Joshua chapter number 8.
The very first verse. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. The Lord had delivered the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. He brings them across the desert, the wilderness, 40 years, across the Jordan River into the promised land. He's brought Israel out of Egypt. It's time to get Egypt out of Israel now. Try to get some of these worldly ways away from them. He gets them in the promised land. He tells them it's time for you to go and begin to walk around Jericho. And they walk around it every day, one time a day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they went around the city 6 times. And on the seventh time around, they begin to shout. And they begin to praise God. And the walls fell completely flat. And the people of Israel got a great victory. And then Joshua sent spies out to attack the land of Ai, or the town or the city of Ai. Every time you see Ai in the Bible, it always represents the flesh. So Joshua hears the report of the two spies, and they said, well, we can defeat that. That's just a tiny old puny little city. We don't even need to send but 2,000 or 3,000 men. And so Joshua sends 3,000 men, and they were so defeated before Ai that they had to turn and begin to run home, and 36 people were killed. And Joshua got on his face and said, Lord, where have you been? How come you failed us? And God said, get up, because first of all, you went in your own power. You never prayed about doing this. You went and fought the flesh on your own. Let me say this to you this morning. Not one of you will be able to defeat the flesh in your own power. Can't be done. I'm talking to somebody here that says, well, I know to keep my mouth shut. You can't do it. Your mouth was made to talk, and your flesh has a sin nature, and it wants to spew it out. The Bible says that the mouth speaketh from the abundance of the heart. Why did I say that? Because it's what was in there. God allows that stuff to get out to show you what's really in there. And you say, well, I didn't know. Let me tell you something. They went in their own power. They did not pray. They did not take the ark of God with them. They did not take the presence of God. They went on their own. And I'm telling you, every time you do, you get yourself in trouble. Every single time. And I'm talking about me and myself, and you can examine you and yourself. And we also realized there was another sin in the camp that Achan had taken of the accursed thing. We remember that story. And how the Lord had said, sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow I'm going to expose just who it is. Now you think when God says sanctify yourself, that means everybody get right with God. But Achan didn't get right. He thought he could hide it. He hid all these things in his tent. He hid these things in his heart. And God's going to expose his sin. He's going to expose it. And so little by little, he tried to hide, did he not? But finally, God put his finger on his life and said, you're the one. And he said, indeed, I have sinned. And thus have I done. And he confessed it all. But there was no real repentance in his heart. They went to his tent, found all the things in his tent, found things under his tent, just like he said. They brought it back to Joshua, and Joshua took that man and his family, and they stoned him to death. In the stoning, putting this one to death, that couldn't have been easy. Could not have been easy to stone someone, one of your own. Not only to stone Achan, but to stone his whole family. Why'd he stone the family? So the children wouldn't raise up and say, Joshua did this to our daddy. Joshua didn't do it to Achan. Achan did it to himself. And so in the stoning, and in the, they took him and then they burned him, and then they buried him. In that, there is repentance. Let me tell you something. If there's ever going to be true repentance in your life, you have to mortify. You have to put to death. You have to slay the past. It's got to be done. And so when they put Achan to death, they put sin to death. And then they burnt sin. And they said, we ain't going back to it. We're not going to talk about it anymore. We're going to leave it alone. And then they buried it. Something that's buried, you don't carry it around. I mean, who wants to carry around something that's buried this morning? How's that going to smell? How's that going to look? Nobody wants to carry around buried stuff anymore.
But that's what we like to do, like to tote our baggage around. So they have a victory that has come because they have put to death the past. Do you agree? When you come to the next chapter, the Lord begins to speak in chapter number 8 to Joshua. The Lord speaks to him again. He says, "Fear not, neither be thou dismayed." What he's saying is, don't be discouraged because of what's happened. Don't be discouraged because you went out on your own. Yes, Joshua, you made a mistake, but I forgive mistakes when you repent. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. Don't be defeated. Don't lose heart. The battle's still mine. He also says, don't lose heart because what Achan's done. This right here, I'm going to bless you anyhow. I'm going to recover you, and I'm going to recover all of Israel because you've repented. Because you put to death the sins of the past, I'm going to bless you. He says, don't be afraid, neither be dismayed. Look what he goes on to say right there. He begins to promise them victory, does he not? The only way you're going to get victory, victory over Ai is the flesh. The only way you'll get it is when you go in the power of God. The Lord says, take all the people of war with thee and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. He says, you take everybody with you. I have given you the victory. I am going with you into this war, and I'm going to help you to accomplish this purpose. The flesh will be defeated. Friend, when I think about those verses this morning, when God says that he's going to help you through a situation, friend, God's as good as his word. You can count on it, amen. So the first thing you've got to do this morning is you've got to put to death the past. Are you willing to say, I got to put it to death? We've made mistakes. Not one of us in this building can sit here this morning and say, not me. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, okay? So you've got to put to death the past. The second thing you've got to do is you've got to hear the decree of the present. God says, I forgive sin. God says, I restore. God says, I give you a fresh start. He said, the place of your greatest defeat is going to be the place of your next victory. The war that you lost with the flesh, have you ever had a war with your flesh? Huh? The war you lost with your flesh, this time, I'm going to help you, and the flesh will be defeated. Friend, I'm telling you what, am I the only one here that says I can't defeat my flesh on my own? I can't hold my tongue. I can't seem like I can guard my thoughts well enough. The only way you're going to be able to put to death the flesh is through the power of God. And God says, I am interested not in your defeat. I'm interested in your victory. And we think this week about souls being saved. We like that, don't we? But let me tell you, if you go in your own power, souls won't be saved. Souls will be lost. And they'll stay lost, okay? So, when I think about God's word coming to Joshua, God comes to comfort him. He comes to encourage him. I like it when God says, I'm giving you a fresh start. I like it when God says, I'm here to help you. I'm here to comfort you. I'm here to hold you. But he also gives him a words of commandment. He says, this is what I want you to do. I want you, the Bible says in verse 2, thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king, only the spoil thereof and cattle thereof shall you take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. God tells Joshua just exactly what he wants him to do, how he wants him to defeat Ai, how Joshua will get victory over the flesh. And this chapter details just exactly what it takes to get victory over the flesh. And I promise you, when God says victory's coming, victory's coming. If Achan had just waited, instead of going ahead and taking the spoils from Jericho and hiding them in his tent, if he had just waited, now they go to Ai and God says, all the spoils are yours. Take them all. Achan would have been rich. Achan would have been blessed. If he had waited like everybody else waited, everybody else was obedient, everybody else observed what God told him to do, but Achan just couldn't stand it, thought he'd get away with it, and he got caught up. And let me tell you something, if he had just waited, he'd have had all the blessings that he could have ever filled his tent with. But he would not wait on God. He went ahead in his own flesh and decided to take this. Now you think about something in the book of Psalms, in chapter number 27, verse 14, it says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." He says in Psalms 37, verse 34, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land." Psalm 130, verse 5, "I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope." But Achan would not wait on God. He got ahead of God, and he paid the ultimate price. Let me tell you something. Our flesh needs to learn to wait on God. Hear the decree of the present. God says, "I'll forgive you when you get in the flesh and you sin. I know you're dust. But if you'll come and ask me for forgiveness and repent." Repentance is a turning away. Repentance is putting to death the past. If you just come and say, "Boy, I've sinned," but you keep the past alive, there's no repentance. And if the past is not put to death, you've not turned away. You're still letting it live. And if it still lives, you still can't get victory. Hear the decree of the present. You have got to understand the past has got to be put to death, and the only way to get victory is in the power of God. You cannot do it on your own. You think, "I can maintain my own tongue." You think, "I'm a Christian. I'll act rational. I'll be calm." But I'm telling you, in this chapter right here, friend, as God begins to detail this thing out, you just won't believe how things can escalate. I want you to think here, and we're going to skip along, but God gives him a detailed plan. In verses 2 all the way down through verse 8, God gives him a detailed plan. Let me tell you what happens here. He tells him to lay an ambush, and in verses 3 and 4, Joshua goes and picks 30,000 men, and he tells them to lie in wait behind the city of Ai. They leave by night, 30,000 men, go and wait behind the city of Ai, over where all the rocks and the rills are, and they're not to be discovered. In verse number 12, Joshua took another 5,000 men, and he put them on the west side of Ai, between the cities of Ai and the city of Bethel. And they're laying there in ambush. They're laying there just waiting on things to happen. Now, this is God's detailed plan. In verses 5 and 6, Joshua says, "And I, and all the people that are with me, will approach unto the city. And it shall come to pass, when they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us, till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, 'They flee before us, as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them.' Then you shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be, when you have taken the city, that you shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord shall you do. See, I have commanded you." God commanded Joshua. Joshua commanded the people. 30,000 people are going to hide out behind Ai. 5,000 people are going to be to the west side of Ai. And Joshua said, me and a few men, maybe 3,000, the same number they had before, we're going to go right up in front of the city of Ai. And that night when they did that, the men of Ai were standing on guard, because the flesh is always on guard, seemed like. Just paranoid, waiting for something to happen. And it was a scout, and he said, "There's them Israelites again. I see them down there in the valley. We run them off the last time. We're going to run them off again." So what they did was they opened the gates, and the men of Ai began to go out of the city. Now, friend, if you'll look with me down here in verse number 13, the Bible says, "When they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city, and their liers in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early, And the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at a time appointed before the plain. But he wist not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. Now, can you see this? 30,000 people behind Ai. 5,000 people to the side, to the west side of Ai. And here's Joshua and maybe 3,000 or so in the valley. And Ai sees them and says, we run you off the first time, we're going to run you off again. That's what the flesh wants to do. It's in the running off business. And so it rises up, they come out of the city gates, and they start charging towards Joshua. Now Joshua, the Bible says he made it like he was fleeing away. And he said to his 3,000, retreat! And they begin to withdraw. And as they started withdrawing, the men of Ai got more excited that we're chasing Joshua away. Let's run them all off now. Can you see the excitement as they start chasing Joshua away? Now Joshua's going to get victory because God said so. And Joshua's going to conquer in yielding. See, it's not what the flesh thinks. The flesh thinks it conquers by power. But God says, I conquer by yielding. Think about the cross. Jesus conquered by yielding his life. Amen? He defeated death, hell, and the grave, and the devil. Amen? Hallelujah! Because there's strength in yielding. Joshua begins to yield. He made it, and they begin to chase him. The Bible says, look with me in verse 16. You may say, preacher, why is this important? I'll get to that. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them, and they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. There was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel, and they left the city open and pursued after Israel. Now I want to say number three, the flesh makes the decision to pursue. Can you just see Ai says, we're in hot pursuit. We're chasing Joshua and all that crowd away. And let me tell you what happens when your flesh gets riled up. Now Joshua is drawing the flesh out, right? The men of Ai, or the men that represents flesh, the flesh is being drawn out. Drawn out from what's inside. Now you think with me for a second. God will allow a situation to come in your life to show you what's really in you. He's going to draw attention to your flesh. And in doing that, he's just setting you up to ambush you. You better be careful. He says, listen, just go ahead and chase us. And Joshua's running, and Ai said, get them, boys, get them. And see, the flesh don't know when to stop. The flesh, when it gets angry, it gets even angrier. Amen? I'm just trying to preach the truth, and the flesh does not know when to stop. So they make this decision to pursue, and about that time, when they run far enough away from the city, and nobody's left in the city but the women and the children, guess what happens? The 30,000 camped out behind the city run into the city and set it on fire. Flesh didn't know that's going to happen, did they? Couldn't have figured out that's going to happen. Now their city's on fire. While they're out chasing Joshua, somebody says, hey, Captain, yeah, look back, our city's on fire. Our what? Let me tell you what, your flesh gets on fire. Boy, I tell you what, when flesh burns, it stinks. Because it's filthy and rotten and nasty any old way. Amen. And I want to tell you what, about that time, Joshua, as he runs out, he sees them, and he sees them coming toward the Bible said in the next verse, he lifts up a spear. He turns around at Ai and points a spear towards them. That's a signal to say, go ahead, 30,000, burn the city. Go ahead, the other 5,000, cut them off from going to Bethel. Cut off any escape route, start closing in. And Joshua and his men turn back on the flesh. Now here they are chasing. All of a sudden, wait a minute. Why are they coming at us? Our city's on fire. Oh no, go the other way. Here comes 5,000 more people. And now the 30,000 that set the city on fire, they're closing in. Closing in by 30,000, closed in by 5,000, and closing in by Joshua and his 3,000. The flesh has been surrounded by Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He's caught. He's captured. He's captivated. Am I the only one in here who says, boy, I've done some awful things? And I'm telling you, I didn't know when to stop. I didn't know when to quit. And the only reason that happened, God ambushed me. He brought all that out to show me what was really in me. Oh, you may sit here and look like you're ready to fly off to glory this morning. But I'm telling you what, inside of you, you've got a flesh that's filthy, stinking, and rotten. And if you don't put to death the past, friend, you keep bringing it up, it's going to ruin you. In a display of power, this ambush that burnt down the city, and all these men, guess what? When they closed in, they destroyed all of them. The Bible said in verse 23, look here, and I'm almost done. The Bible says, and the king of Ai, they took alive and brought him to Joshua. Now I want to tell you the king of Ai's name. Darren. Dennis. Ronnie. Tommy. Steve. Mike. Jerry. See? You are the king of Ai. Ai sounds a whole lot like I. Me, myself, and I. A lot of times you talk to people and they say, boy, I tell you what, I've been talking to a few people. Me, myself, and I. I don't count as three people, amen, but a lot of times I like to value it that way. And they take him alive and bring him back to Joshua. And the Bible says in verse number 29, and the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree, cast it at the entering end of the gate of the city, and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth there unto this day. The king of Ai was put to death on a tree publicly. The flesh needs to be mortified. It needs to be put to death publicly. There's some things you have got to let go. There's some things you need to repent of. Some things that's got to be put to death. And the biggest thing is you've got to say, God, help me with my flesh. And he left him on that tree all day. And at eventide, he took him down. Guess what? Tomorrow's a new day. You're going to get up in the flesh again. And you're going to put the flesh back on the tree again. Cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. Cursed is our flesh. What happens is the flesh has got to be surrendered. Let me give you this illustration. It's a good one. I'm telling on myself. My wife and I, we've been to church. We had a great, great service. Been sometime way, way back yonder. I went to the altar in the service and said, God, I want to get closer to you. Sound familiar? Lord, I want more of you. I want more of your power. I want more of your presence. I want more of your wisdom. God, lead me. Guide me. Help me, Lord. Would you touch me? Show me, God, what's in my heart. I want to get rid of this wicked stuff, and I want to get closer to you. And it was a great time, and I got up, wiped my tears and my snot off my nose, and I went to the house, and we were walking in, and I opened the door for her, and I said, come on in, honey, and locked the door behind us. And she said something in relation to what was going to happen tomorrow that I didn't like. Well, look at me, funny. That's between me and my wife, okay? And I didn't like what she said. And so I just wheeled around because she's my wife and I can say what I want to her, right? I wheeled around and I said, what do you mean by that? We got a... And that's really all it was, a bunch of yeah, because I can't remember what it was about. And she said, oh, no! And we went back into each other pretty good. Finally, my bedroom was upstairs and so I went stomping up a step so she could hear I was angry. Not that she didn't already know. I had my suit coat on from church. I took my coat off and threw it on the bed. Ripped my tie loose and threw it down. I thought, who in the world does she think she is? I'm the man of this house. I'm going to tell her that's going to be. I can't believe it. She would. And God said, excuse me. I said, what? You remember that little prayer you prayed over there at the church? You want to be closer to me? Yeah, they ain't got nothing to do with this. You asked me to show your heart. I just showed you. Well, I don't like it. He said, neither do I. But I was just showing you what's in there. That stuff that you've been building up in there, and you think you're going to run everything, you're going to be the man, you're going to show everybody how it is. I'm just going to tell you, you ain't right with me. I fell on my knees. I said, oh, God, you're right. I just prayed and had a great experience with you, a great victory you gave me. Tonight at the church, I got help. And before I've even got home good, I've got in the flesh. And I tried to fight the flesh on my own. And now me and my wife's in a big spat. And I had a knot in my belly, but don't tell her. I was really sick about what I'd said. And there I was, and I was kneeling on the bed there. And God was just comforting me. He says, fear not. Neither be thou dismayed. Don't lose hope. You know, y'all can still stay together. Y'all can work this out. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to help you. I'm just showing you what was in there. God had ambushed my flesh. Do you get it? And he exposed me, even to my wife. And God said, now that I've forgiven you, you go get forgiveness from her. And I said, no, but ain't you good enough? You're God. I'm certain of that. I know you are. I said, you march yourself right back down and you go tell her you're sorry. And you put it to death. Don't you ever let this come up again. Because a lot of times we say we forgive and we say... But what and we say we're sorry, but we really ain't, because the next time a line is crossed, we're going to blow it out again. It's got to be put to death. You've got to do it, and you can't do it by yourself. You cannot do this by yourself. God has got to put it to death for you. You've got to go to God and say, I need your help. And so I come back down the steps a little softer than I went up. And she was in there. She was slinging them dishes. Working at the dish, working at the sink there. I walked up behind her and put my arms around her, and I said to her ear, I said, I'm sorry. I love you. Forgive me. You know what she did? She turned around. She ought to. She turned around and said, tears in her eyes. She said, I'm sorry too. She said, I'm sorry. We'll do whatever you want to do. I said, no, we'll do what you want to do. Now we're about to fight over who's going to do what. And then I took her and I planted one on her. That's my wife, my business. Okay? And things got a whole lot better from there. And what you need to do is you've got to realize God has allowed some situation. I don't know what it is. You know what it is. Whatever's happening at work, whatever's happened with your family, whatever's happened with your friends, whatever's going on in your Sunday school class, whatever's going on with the Awana room, whatever's happening in Bible school, whatever's happening in any meeting in this church or us sitting here today, you're prone to get in the flesh if you don't say, God, help me to mortify my flesh, because I cannot do it in my own power. Amen. I read these verses and I'm done. The Bible says in Galatians 5:17, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Paul said in Romans 7, he says in verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but have to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am. This is Apostle Paul. O wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? You know what he's saying? His flesh is rotten. He has a sin nature. His sin nature, even though he's saved and the man of God, his sin nature hates serving God. It hates bowing. It hates humbling itself. It hates the things of God. You may say, oh no, as the preacher, you couldn't hate the things. My flesh is not saved. My soul got saved, but my flesh is rotten and filthy and decaying. He says, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's who gives us this victory. Understand, our old man was crucified with him. Understand, our new man has been risen with Christ. Jesus got the victory over the flesh, and if he lives in me, only through Jesus can I obtain victory over my flesh. Listen to what the Bible says. If you're really living in the Spirit like you say you are, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Let me just ask you a question. Is there real, genuine love in your heart for your situation and who's in it? Is there joy, or is it killing your joy? Is there peace, or are you tore up all the time? Is there long-suffering? Well, I don't understand it, but I think I'll just be patient and let God handle it. Or do you have to handle it for Him? Is there gentleness and goodness? Huh? Or are you quick to try to resolve the issue? Or are you being gentle? Is there really faith? Do you really see by faith? Or are you really seeing here by the flesh? Is there real meekness? A spirit of humbleness and saying, I'm willing to say and take the low road in everything? Or do you always have to be right? And temperance means, are you in control? Because your flesh gets out of control. I'm done this morning with what God told me to preach. Wasn't easy. Because I'm looking at a crowd that's living in the flesh. Every one of us. Every one of us. And you cannot control it without God to help you.